And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the Big D and Bubba podcast, which is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Merry Christmas!
I remember when that guy called in. That was a long time ago, too.
Yeah. I figured I would start with him, first of all, because it's Christmas time.
Merry Christmas!
But also because today, after the show, Patrick had completely duped us. He's like, oh, guys, like last night he told us, come to work camera ready. By camera ready, that means wear a decent shirt.
I forgot.
And so I'm over here in sweatshorts and a decent shirt. And he's like, yeah, so we have to go take this picture real fast with Peter from Compass. And it was like, oh, okay, well, great. Because he was in visiting. We got a lot of work done with that. And I guess maybe we'll get into that here in a moment. But so we're hanging out with that. And we walked down the hall into the soundstage over by Taste of Country and everything and opened the door. And there's a ton of our family and friends, our wives, our kids. I mean, it was just, it was cool. And it was a surprise because we didn't realize it. Today was the 20th anniversary of the first time we ever syndicated our radio show onto another station in a different state and everything at the time. And we were just like blown away by everybody just being there. We didn't even know. Like Big D and I were completely clueless. They're like, surprise, congratulations. And we're just sitting there like deer in the headlights. Both of us like, cool for what?
I never get to surprise you guys. Like really, you know what I mean?
That's a good one.
That was pretty good. It helped that your wives were able to be here. You know,
Patrick really did a lot. He came to me with the idea and told me everything that he was doing and how I could help. And
Carson got the cake, bomb to the cake. Yes,
it was a good cake. I mean, yes. No doubt. Cake. But
what was your favorite icing?
Yeah, oh, yeah. They were like, do you want whipped? Nope, I want buttercream. I mean, I don't know if y'all wanted whipped, but too bad. But yeah, Patrick had said, like, here's what we're doing, and here's who I'm getting, and here's the list. And I was really impressed with all that work, Patrick.
And all of this happened off of the air. Like, we were like, what? And
got
it, like,
a little
friends
video
from the industry.
Of some of our old colleagues, the general manager and the program director of the station where we were all working together. And also the GM and the program director of the station were the first ones to sign on the show.
Yeah.
How did you find Les?
Les is my friend on Facebook. He was actually quite easy to find. The hard person to find was Dick, who was the general manager of the station in Amarillo. He's like off the grid, man. He's on Facebook, but he doesn't respond to anything. He owns a sports bar in Corpus Christi, Texas. He's just hanging out, man. He's just living his life.
Oh, wow.
I
literally had a tear. Like my eyes were welling up. I'm like, don't cry, you big dummy. Stop it.
Don't be that
and like
guy.
I'm getting it again. Just seeing their faces again. I mean, when Dick Lewis's face popped up, I'm like, oh my God, it's Dick Lewis. I love that guy. I mean, he was the first guy to believe in us on an affiliate thing. He took a major flyer on our show.
A syndicated morning show in the country music format. Was widely known to be, it wasn't believed, it was known to be impossible. No one couldn't
do it. It had been tried and it couldn't be done.
It had been tried by lots of people and it didn't work.
We'll actually get into all that later because what we have is at the end of the podcast today, we didn't say this in the beginning, but we'll say it now. Monta from Country Air Check was also at the party and she interviewed us for like a half an hour. We just sat and had a conversation about how the show started, you know, how we got into syndication, how we broke off and did our own company. And all of that is in there. And it's really kind of fascinating. If you care, the last half hour of the podcast is that interview. And it's really cool. I mean,
you get to hear somebody interview us,
which is weird.
Which is kind of different. I like that.
So are we ready to play that?
It's been a long day. We ate cake for breakfast, so we're all crashing now.
No lie.
It's really, I want to say again, Patrick, just because you're the one who put this together. I mean, I know other people were involved, but you're the one who, I hate saying spearheaded, but you spearheaded
well,
this.
I love,
that's my corporate word.
If you don't look, first of all, I like milestones. I think that's great. I like statistics and milestones and things like that. That's why I love college football and baseball, because I can tell you who has the records and the stats. And look, this is something no one else has ever done in country music. No one. And certainly no one's been doing it longer. So we should be proud of that. And if we don't tell people about it, who's going to tell them? So
who's going to fill our shoes?
Who's going to...
The crazy thing is, we're all very young, but we've
just been doing this since we were children. I mean, seriously.
Bob and I started together at 22, 3?
Something like that. December 16th, 1996. It was a Monday, and we went on the air with the show, and it was a mess.
We didn't know what we were doing. But that was our first show?
Yeah, that was our first show of you and I together. Oh, that wasn't the syndication one.
Yeah, okay.
So it was interesting that 23 years ago we started the show. 3 years after we started it, almost to the day, I mean, we're only talking 10 days difference, we started syndicating the show for the first time. And I mean, a lot has happened. A lot happened in between that time, and oh my gosh, the world has happened since.
Now, we were on the air together. And I've been here over 20 years, so we were all there together at the beginning of syndication. We were on the air when 9/11 happened. Yeah. We were on the air when Katrina happened. We've been through some stuff,
We're on the air,
man.
Through wildfires and terror attacks and you name it. Yeah. We've...
couple
floods.
Of wars, presidential elections.
Wars.
Presidential.
How many presidents?
Elections are
Hold on, the... wait. Bill Clinton was our first president.
Yeah.
When we were on the air, Bill Clinton was still the president. What?
I tell people all the time that one of the days we come in the earliest, because we can't prepare anything for the day before, is after the CMAs or the ACMs, because we have to know what happened in order to show up and be ready to talk about it. So we just come in early.
Always hard because you have to stay up so late to watch the show.
And after a presidential election where you're staying up watching the results, and then you got to be here, you know, early before we go on the air, ready to talk about, because you can't
you have
prepare.
To know
we don't
what
know
you're
what's
talking
happen.
About.
So those are the days where it's like, and sometimes after the Super Bowl. But the Super Bowl ends earlier than the CMAs.
Yeah.
Super Bowl's usually over by
and
like
elections
8:30.
Are usually called, you know, at goofy hours of the night.
That
but
last
anyway.
One. And remember, no, I remember... the George Bush and Al Gore election, I was up until like 3 a.m. watching them decide whether or not, and Al Gore conceded, and then he called and said, I don't concede. It's like 3 o'clock, and I went, I'm going to work. I didn't even go to sleep, because we're on the air in like an hour, so what's the point?
Do you know where I was that night?
Where were you?
The NBC control room.
Oh.
Because that's when I worked at NBC.
I bet that was
I
fun.
Stayed there for 2 weeks.
Now, she's not talking about the local affiliate. She's talking
like
about
in
NBC.
The control room?
Well, no, I mean, obviously, they had to get me a hotel room so I could go to sleep from time to time. But yeah, we were around the clock because of that election. So,
and that was during the hanging chat thing. That was
yeah,
the
that was
chat
Tim
thing.
Russert and the whiteboard.
Oh, man.
And that's now
you know the person who went to buy it for him, right?
Yeah, it was my boss. It was his boss's assistant. Like, I was the assistant to my boss. The guy who was above him, his assistant, got sent out to Duane Reade, the drugstore in New York City, to go buy a whiteboard for Tim Russert because it was so insane.
Wow.
I don't know. What's the whiteboard?
He was holding up that. Remember what we used to use when we started syndication? And we would write stuff down for
like
each market on those whiteboards?
Like
with our little
dry erase markers.
Dry erase markers.
Yeah, and Tim Russert had one.
He had one
because
on the
it was,
air, and he's
well,
doing
if this
the...
goes this way because
oh,
it was so close,
so great.
And it was going this way and going that way.
Now we have we take that for granted. Now we have instant graphics
that
on TV.
That whiteboard?
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it. It's almost the exact same one that we used here in the studio.
Yeah.
It's now part of the Smithsonian Museum.
Yes,
it's
in
the Smithsonian. I did not know that.
Yeah, I remember talking to the girl, the assistant that went out and bought it, and she had made a comment the next day. She goes, I know I've got to turn it in for expenses, but I don't know why. I feel like I should make a copy of the receipt for me. And she just, I don't know, she just knew that it was going to be a big deal. I wonder if she has it.
That's awesome, man.
But she should have kept the whiteboard.
That was Tim Russert's whiteboard.
How do you prove? And plus, how do you prove that it was the exact one? You know.
Well, it's in the Smithsonian, so that's the exact. They know which one it is.
So crazy. Mm-hmm.
He passed away in 2008.
He was a good dude.
Yeah, I didn't mean to derail your celebration.
Well, you know what?
The only thing is that election is like the one cool story.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You have a ton of cool stories. Yes, you do. And what I was going to say is that's the thing is we started the show. Bill Clinton was the president.
Yeah.
Then we had George W. Bush in 9/11. And then we had the Obama years. And then now we have the Trump years. And it's just like so much has transformed in our radio life that it's really cool to look back and see these friends, these faces and all that kind of stuff and just feel like, man, you know, we're all connected through this dumb thing called radio frequency, this RF wave that's going from a tower to your radio speaker. And now it's shifted. We're doing it through the internet as well. And you've got all these other ways to ingest the show and be a part of what we're doing. And it's just... it's crazy the transformation the industry has had.
CMA Entertainer of the Year the month before we started syndication.
Mm-hmm.
Shania Twain.
Wow.
It was a different time. Like most of these people you never even heard of at that point. I think Kane Brown was like 2. I'm just saying.
How old is Kane Brown?
He's like 24 maybe. So he's like 4 years old.
Yeah. I'm checking right now. I'm doing the old Bing here. He is 26, so he was 3 years old when we started the show.
That's awesome.
He had just turned 3.
So how long have you been planning that surprise party?
I found out that Peter Kosan, who's the president of our syndication partner, was coming in for a meeting, and I thought, you know what? He's going to be in town. That's the day. Because I kind of knew this was the day. As I wanted, so we have these magazines and websites that talk about music industry news and radio news.
And it's exclusively for the industry.
And I was like, I want to do a picture where we, you know, celebrate that it's been 20 years and just, you know, make it like a little press release. Okay. Like, look what we've been doing. Look what we did. So I was going to tell you guys about it. And then I found out Peter was coming in and I just decided to surprise you.
You went full party mode.
I went full party. Got a cake. I was also worried that if I told you I wanted to make this story bragging about the fact you've been doing this longer than anybody else, that you wouldn't want to do it because you wouldn't want to brag about yourself. So I basically ambushed you.
You actually were very correct on that because the two of us, we'd have been like,
I ambushed you and forced you to do it. I'm like, we don't want that story. Too late. Story's out there.
There was even discussion yesterday about... I mean, we think they're going to like it.
I know. I was a little concerned.
But I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe after everybody leaves, they'll be like, why'd you guys do that?
I would have hated it if I'd have been able to think about it. But I didn't have a choice, and I just lived it and experienced it.
Exactly.
Man, it was cool. I mean, my kids were here. They're out of school. Their mom took them here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so great.
I opened the door, and as soon as I opened the door, and I saw all the people, and they were like, surprise.
You're like,
I kept going. It's my birthday.
It's my birthday.
I forgot my birthday. Today's my birthday.
I forgot my own birthday.
Oh, my God.
By the way, Big D's birthday is in March, so he doesn't even know.
That was the thing. I was running dates through my head. I'm going, what is today's date? What is today's date? What is the significance? No, tomorrow's Pearl Harbor Day. Why would we even have a party for Pearl Harbor Day?
I'm like,
all this dumb stuff is going through my head. I'm like,
so I don't know if you recall, because this is a non-event in your morning, but you were in the kitchen making coffee. Around, I don't know, like
45 minutes before.
Yeah. And so I walked in because I needed a trash bag because I wanted to make sure we had a trash bag for when people were going to throw out their coffee cups and stuff. And Patrick is trying to block the door because now he's afraid since I'm running back and forth, you were going to hear something because the doors are opening.
I was also worried that when he went to get coffee, that he might go pee.
I did hear something.
If he goes out in there, he's going to wonder what's going on in the soundstage area.
I heard. And I just thought, oh, Evan and those guys have something going on. Yeah. They're just whatever. It didn't cross my mind that it was out of place because we do have a lot of activity around here.
The first person to show up who we explicitly told, don't ring the doorbell.
RJ rang the doorbell.
Rang the doorbell.
You didn't notice that? At about 8:30, the doorbell rang.
It was just in the middle of the
again,
just in the
show.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
We're in the weeds.
Also, I told everyone, park it on the other side of the building and just walk around so they don't see you. And Charlie Chase.
Or even if we walked into your office, we could have looked on the security cameras.
Charlie Chase parked literally right there.
In front of the
window? Right next to Bubba's Jeep, next to the only window down here. So I'm standing. We were talking. Peter and I are talking to you guys 10 minutes before. And I'm literally standing trying to position myself to where D can't see out the window just so he wouldn't see Charlie Chase get out of his car.
Talking about Crook and Chase, you know, they came by and I love them. They're so great. You talk about people who've been doing it forever.
37 years. In one form or another.
Yeah, I was talking to Lorianne afterwards, and I was like, how long have you guys been? She's like, 37 years.
Wow.
Well, I hope they invite us to their 40th.
She said, because if we make it to 40, will you dance in a thong? And I said, there's no winner in that.
Yeah, everybody loses.
I told her, I said, look, if the price is right, I'm in. I mean, yeah. Whatever.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, no, but yeah, it's hard to believe, man. You know, I never wanted to do radio. I did it just because I don't even know why. Because
your teacher told you to.
Yeah, and I just did it, and I got in, and the guy kept going, "Hey, you're a natural. You should do this." I'm like, I go, Bill, listen, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to be a psychologist. I'm not going to. Why would I do this? This is.
Then he got to college and realized how much college he would need for that.
I got into radio, and I remember going, I'm going to do this until I can show up and not be nervous. And when I can do that, then I'll know I reached a point. Right. And I remember that time, that day, I was like, halfway through, I'm like, I'm not nervous. Oh, that's cool. And then I kind of got the bug. I kind of started feeling like I could kind of really
make a career
get
out of
good
it.
At it. You know, like, hey, now I'm kind of, you know, like when you have a yo-yo and like, okay, you're kind of barely doing it. And then you see the guys who can really do it, do the tricks and stuff.
I could never do that.
I was starting to do some of the tricks. And then I was like, oh my. So then I really got into it. And then when I went to college and started, I was like, well, I'm going to be a psychologist because I had always wanted to do. And I was really big into it. I had Psychology Today subscriptions. I would read psychology textbooks. On for fun, and
the nerdiest thing I've ever.
I know, man. I had textbooks. I probably had 20 textbooks, and I would just read them, just go through and read them on my downtime in the summer. And I got into it and started all the psychology and sociology stuff I loved. But when it got into counseling, I couldn't disconnect myself
from the people and their problems.
I couldn't, man. I just talking about it, and we would do mock sessions, and I would go home, and that's all I would think about. And people would be like, "Hey, are you okay?" Mm-hmm. I'd be like, "Yeah."
It's a special.
Really brought me down.
It takes a special kind of person to be able to
Teflon
do it.
You just can't. You got to care, but not care.
But you have to be. Yeah, you have to be empathetic.
It's like doctors. Doctors who can like go and work on a kid, and maybe the kid makes it, or maybe doesn't, and then you go home, and then. Go have dinner with your family? I just couldn't do that.
I mean, I have to feel like that affects them, but
it has to. But
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah. Bubba,
don't say. Oh, here it comes. Oh, y'all want to say it for him? Well, I mean, as a first responder.
Could I have stepped into a trap?
Yeah, you did. You literally opened the door and looked and saw the elevator wasn't there and just fell in on purpose.
I won't even talk about my firefighter-y stuff. This is, you're absolutely right with the doctors. Man, I sit back and we'll be on a job and I'll look at these EMTs and paramedics and whatnot, and they're so good, man. They know, they recognize, they see, they've done it, you know. And I'm
my microphone fell down.
Bubba's mic just fell off the boom.
But it's okay because I don't know where the little thingy
screw
is.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I normally tighten that screw every day. And I haven't done it in weeks. You can see that. Anyway, now but I was going to say, I just sit there and I marvel at how good these people are. And then, you know, you go back to the firehouse and they're, oh, Patrick, I'm good. You don't have to worry about it. Thank you. But I'll go back and I'll just sit there and listen to them decompress and discuss all that. And I'm like, man, you guys are superheroes.
You got to have something, some kind of, I don't know what it is, man. Something to get away from all that. I will tell you, though, man. Went to Five Guys the other night to pick up some burgers for the boys, and I parked, and then like one of your fire truck ambulance things parked like in the middle of the road, and then they kept it running, and then they went inside and sat down and ate, and like people were like I could hardly get out of the spot. I was like, dude,
that's not my station.
I'm
so.
Like, what are y'all doing, man? I get
that's,
it.
That's
yeah,
not my piece.
I understand you. But park, don't do that. It bothered me.
You should have told them something.
I'm not going to tell them anything because they're gods. Mm-hmm. We can't critique anyone.
You can. Nobody's above critique. I think that's one thing I've learned through radio is no matter who you are, no matter what you've accomplished, you're still vulnerable to making mistakes and doing stupid things.
Well, I'm not
going to
be that guy.
We do them. We've done them every day for our whole career.
But in here, I feel different. Out there, I don't.
You feel like a.
I like to be invisible. I don't like to be. When we're in here, I feel.
So this is kind of
like
a
our superhero
internet.
Suit.
It's our internet, man. Yeah. This is we can hide behind the radio.
Yes, I remember Bubba Love Sponge saying that one time, talking about, and I totally agree with him. It was like when I get in the studio, I'm a superhero. I can do anything. I can
say
fly.
Anything.
I can run through buildings. I can confront any person anywhere. That's my realm. I own it. I am the king and god of all. When I'm in my studio, the headphones and the mic and all that. And I was like 1,000% agree. But I get outside and I'm like, I don't even really want to.
No conflict.
I don't want anyone to even know who I am. Just, yep.
Unless they want to give me something
weird.
Free. No, I know exactly what he's talking about, because it's the same thing like you see people get on Twitter and they're like, I'll call anybody out anywhere. And they'll say something all big time. And then you go to their face and they're like, oh, no.
What I meant was.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We get in here and we pretty much can control.
No, but I'm not saying we're really negative. We're not bullying anyone by any means. But I just.
No, but we can control the narrative if we wanted to. What?
Only speaking for myself that I.
Oh, we don't bully you.
Oh, no, I meant that I bully James Vanderbeek.
Oh, Carson does bully James Vanderbeek.
That was it. But otherwise, that's why you guys are lovely. Yes. You guys are lovely.
Yes, aren't we?
James Vanderbeek doesn't even know you bully him.
Thank goodness.
Gosh.
I thought it was some kind of James Vanderbeek story the other day.
Oh, he's always in the middle of things.
What was that?
17 kids and his on the thing. Oh,
did something burnt house burn down or something?
Oh, no way.
Well, it wasn't Carson.
My GPS was on.
I was.
You can track where I was. Not it. I didn't do it.
I forget what it was.
So much James Vanderbeek hate, and I love it so much.
But you guys are wonderful. You're so nice about people.
By the way, Patrick and I have already made our bets for the weekend.
Yes.
Actually, tonight and for the weekend, as we're betting on college football. This is a big weekend, championship weekend, where all the conferences have their championships. Your Pac-12, the SEC, the all
everything.
Of them.
One of my
American.
Buddies asked what I was doing this weekend. I'm like, are you kidding?
Dude, somebody asked me that yesterday. What are you doing this weekend? I'm going to go, what
football,
am I doing this
weekend?
College
what are you
football.
Talking
what
about?
Yeah.
My weekend starts tonight for Utah, Oregon, and then it rolls into tomorrow all day into the night, ends with Wisconsin beating Ohio State.
Okay, that's cute. That's a cute little fairy tale.
Did you put actual money on that?
No.
Oh, you did, but
I didn't think
win.
So.
Not
no,
to
win. Nope. I didn't think so.
Man, the worst though is that Clemson game. Man, when your conference championship game and the spread is more than
what is it, 4 touchdowns?
That's insane. That's a weak conference, and they're gonna go in, man. They're gonna go in. And I hope,
That's Big D, by the way. If you'd like to send hate mail about your favorite conference, feel
who
free.
Are they even playing?
Virginia.
Okay.
That game was great last weekend. Virginia beat Virginia Tech for the first time in 15 years.
That was a great game.
It had been that long?
15 years.
Goodness.
It was
gracious.
So great, man.
Sorry if you're a Tech fan.
Yeah, but I still, I like to see streaks come to an end.
It was. It was.
It's not my team. So.
Yeah, it was a fun one. I'm doing brisket, smoking brisket. Got guys coming over. Going to be watching the games. God, it's gonna be great. It's kind of the last hoorah, man.
I know. Well, there's still.
I know.
You still got pro, and then you got the Super
got the
Bowl, and you got all
that stuff.
Yeah.
I tried to watch that game. I'm just not a pro guy. I tried to watch that Dallas game last night. I just couldn't get through it. I'm just like, I just don't care.
Come watch a game with me.
I did go and watch a game with you in the Dome in New Orleans for the Saints, and it scared the crap out of me.
Hey, big man.
You know the story,
hey,
right?
Man.
I swear I've heard of it. Please tell it again. All I remember is there was like guys in front of you and behind you.
Yeah, we took listeners to go and watch a Saints game. We got on a bus, went from Baton Rouge to New Orleans to watch a game.
Big Bubba's old deal. We're drinking mimosas on the way.
Bubba's a huge Saints fan, always had. Grew up in New Orleans or south of New Orleans in Houma. And so he's a huge fan, telling me he's wanted to take me forever. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be cool, man. So I'm all in.
I took you to a Saints-Falcons game in the Dome.
So the Saints-Falcons game is, that's like the biggest rivalry. And we get in, and our seats are like the very top of the,
cheap
Dome.
Seats.
Super cheap. I was like, first off, I was embarrassed. I was like, these are the tickets that we gave winners? This is... Like, one guy almost had a cardiac arrest trying to go up all these stairs.
I couldn't help them back then.
And that was me. but we sit down, and we're all crowded up. I can hardly I'm 6'3". My legs are, like, I'm all crunched up. It's just the seats aren't really wide enough. And right in front of me is two guys, but one of them was like super drunk, and he had, I was like, what is going, there's this thing going down his neck. I was like, it looked like oil. I was like, what is that? He had, what do you call it? The Afro Sheen?
Jerry curl.
Mm-hmm. In his hair. Yeah, like those really, those curly curl, you know, the real curl. And it was just dripping down his
Big D had
neck.
Never been exposed to Jerry curl, apparently, because he didn't know what was going on.
Yes. Hello.
Oh, my God.
Pardon
Don't
me.
Tell this story.
I know all about it. I know very, very, very much about it.
Okay.
At Edwards' fifth year center in Oklahoma City, when my bud Jackson put my cowboy hat on that I got from Shepler's because it was Halloween and left that ring all up inside of it. And I go, Jackson. He goes, oh, don't worry about it, Jackson, Jerry Curl. I go, okay. And it never came out. So, yeah, I'm very well aware. So, anyway, I see this stuff going.
This is the most unnecessary and awkward conversation.
I'm so glad this is going down his neck.
This is where we're going with this.
Gosh.
20 years.
Like,
let's jump.
Who puts that much on, though? Anyway, the Saints start losing. Mm-hmm. Saints start losing. We're about in the third quarter, I think, Bubba, right?
Somewhere up in there. I don't remember the specifics.
There's probably three people in between Bubba and I. I'm on the end. And he's further in there. And behind me, I remember there's a bunch of black guys, and they're all dressed up in this exact same
like they had shirts made with, like, their little slogan on it.
Like,
it wasn't
yes.
one you buy. It's one where
they,
you would...
Yes.
Yes.
It was they had a cricket.
It was before crickets, though. It was when you had to go
like
to
iron
the...
Like iron-on.
Yes,
yeah.
You had to go to the sports shop, like mm-hmm. the place, and they put those little velvety letters on your
shirt.
Yes,
yes. That's
exactly right. Like a family reunion
yes.
shirt. But there is their football crew, and they're all into it, and they've been ringing. And
a little lot.
And
hey, big man!
I hear that. And listen, I've always been big. And anytime I hear, hey, big man, I know they're talking to me.
But you always want to pretend
that they're
it's not you.
But I know it is, and I ignore it.
Then
I hear it again.
Hey, big man!
Then a chorus. Like, a chorus of big mans.
Oh, yeah. Hey. And then they start going, in the red shirt! With the shoes yeah. and the shorts, and they start telling the hat, describing me. Oh, and then there's a guy next to me. He kind of reaches over and gets my attention. And I kind of look over, and he goes, hey, man, they're behind you trying to get your attention. I'm like,
thank you.
Oh, really? Thanks. Oh, thanks. And I look back, and all of them, they're all standing up. They go, hey. I go, yeah. Touch the Jerry Curl for good luck. And I go, what? Touch his, and they point to the guy in front of me who's now passed out. Grab his hair and touch a Jerry Curl for good luck. And I'm stuck in an awful position.
Mm-hmm.
There are 15 of these guys all
in
their
that.
Uniform.
Right.
They're drunk. Their team is losing. They look at me as the hope. Am I going to be the one who stands in the way of their team winning if I don't touch this nasty Jerry Curl
right now,
in front of me? And I look at them, and I look at the guy, and I see that oil, and I look back at them, and I go, uh-uh.
They laugh so
hard.
I've never seen people convulse with laughter so hard. Ah, big white boy, got touch Jack out. It was so funny.
Yeah. So, and Bubba's laughing hysterically.
I'm just,
he's over there. Going, he's like, listen, going, that's my people, man. That game, yes.
In the final 10 seconds, there were fights broke out on the concourse. Oh, it was a big drama. Man. We lost two people because they were drunk and we couldn't get them. We were waiting,
well,
trying
true.
To
we
find
did
them.
Lose people, yeah.
To
some
get
listeners.
Back on the bus. And so we finally get back on the bus and Bubba's just sitting there and he's so upset we lost. He looked right at Big D and he goes, should have touched a Jerry Curl.
I was like, I will never forgive him for that.
If it had been a playoff game, we would have made him do it. Okay.
I would have gone swimming
yeah,
in that air.
But anyway, right. So yeah.
Well, I don't know how we can do anything after that, but play our interview for anybody who still cares.
Yes, yeah. For sure.
If yeah. So thank you, Monta, Country Air Check, for hanging out today. Also, the RJs were here, the families.
Both of them.
All of our friends, Crook and Chase, and I just everybody that showed up today. I absolutely, again, adore you. Thank you for being a part of our journey.
And I want to thank Peter and all of the people at Compass and Katie and Mike, who are part of our team that, you know, make sure we don't have to do math or figure out how computers work.
Yes.
You know.
Thank you, Katie.
And Mark as well. So, you know, and Carson, thank you for buying the cake and for being part of the team.
Aw.
And,
no, thank you.
You know.
I'm just excited to be here.
This is her final year with us. So she could go out on a bang.
Yes.
All right. So stick around for the interview with Monta, where she interviews us next.
This was the podcast.
Oh, I forgot to say thank you to O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.
Because otherwise the podcast wouldn't be available.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
What's up, Mona?
What is up with you guys? So were you literally surprised this morning, or was it?
Very. Absolutely floored. Like, you guys, like I told you.
Yeah.
When we walked in the door and I see all these friends and family from the past 20 years, I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, what are you people here for?
Well, Patrick has had this circled for a while. So do you remember the first show in syndication? Do you know what you talked about? Do you remember what you were doing in 1999?
It was awful.
Day?
I don't remember, but I'm sure it was terrible.
I have our very first break.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, now we have to hear it, right?
Oh, yeah. This is really great. Oh,
you have yes. You really have this?
Yeah, it's our launch from KMML. Yeah, no, I do. I think I do.
Make it so.
So this is so bad. Are you ready for this? This is... We went through a stage early on where consultants would tell us, y'all have to sound more country. You don't sound country enough.
They know where you're from, right?
Yeah, right, but that doesn't matter. It didn't matter to them. So they would tell us, you need to sound more country. So I turned into this, like, I was about the most redneckiest dude on the planet. Big D was, it was great. So here we go.
Well, hello. That's I guess the first thing we should do is just say hello.
Hello, and good morning, Amarillo. This is the Big D and Bubba Morning Show on 96.9 KMML.
We made it, baby! We
yeah!
made it!
Woo!
Oh,
we're
my
back
God,
in
pretending
Texas.
To be Woo! There.
Oh, my God.
Well,
oh,
we're going to give you a lot of fun in the morning, a lot of music in the morning, a lot of information in the morning, like, of course, your weather and news and Doppler Dave.
We also want to make you laugh, and we also want to make you cry.
It's Doppler Dave just,
you
man.
You please stop this.
No.
It's awful.
We have 30 seconds. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you know
what?
It's pretty bad.
God, it's so bad.
So, yeah, we had this. Yeah,
hello.
Hello. Wilford Gimli just took over the radio.
It sounded like an old lawyer from Macomb, Mississippi.
From the deep south, yes.
Yeah. I
have one more question for you. Is it a true or not true?
Mata, please
so
don't write about
was
that.
So who Foghorn Leghorn?
That was me. That was me.
Okay, yeah. Great.
I was Foghorn
That's
Leghorn.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and it probably wasn't until, I remember we were, many years into it, we were so consultant it up that we forgot who we were.
Right.
And that's what happens to a lot of people.
Because you'll have one consultant tell you to do your show this way. Mm-hmm. Another will say, oh, no, you need to be Seinfeld. And then you change to make them happy. And then the next one goes, no, you need to be friends. So you change to make them happy. And we were just all over the place.
And what happens when you start syndication, especially when you're all in your early 20s,
right,
is that every program director who's been doing this a lot longer than you thinks they know the best way. So when you have four program directors, five program directors, seven program directors, they all want to tell you how you could have done that better. And it's like a mountain of voices pulling you in different directions.
They're all telling you how to be you. It's weird.
Right. Yeah. But you, this morning, what was also a surprise, I think, for you guys was you had several program directors, previous directors, send in video messages. So clearly, somewhere along the way, you figured out how to make everyone happy, how to do the best show for you, and how to build relationships.
Well, the thing is, you never make everyone happy. I mean, you know, there are just as many program directors who don't like what we do. And that's fine. I think the biggest thing for anyone who does this crazy business is to be okay with that. With syndication, you have it's easier to let some of those go because, well, we have others. It's hard whenever you are in a one-station situation where if that guy doesn't like you or girl doesn't like you, you're probably not going to be there in 3 months. Right. So, and then when you get one that does like you, they may not be there themselves in 3 months.
Yeah.
So it's tough. It's a tough business. And going through syndication as long as we have, remember when we started doing syndication, we were told this would never work.
Right.
You cannot syndicate in country radio. It's been tried by Jerry House and it failed. So it's impossible.
So if Jerry can't do it, you guys can't do it. You know how many times we heard that? A lot.
A lot.
And so, you know, when we got into it, we got to the point where we said, we've just got to do it the way that we feel it has to be done and fail. Or be successful, because we started getting lost in who we were and by all these voices.
And you told the story this morning about coming to Bubba originally and saying mornings, and he was like, no.
Well, because he was a party animal. I mean, he would get to home, he would get to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right. And those first couple weeks, I still, you know, we had the growing pains. I would still go out all night, and I would stumble in, you know, not in great shape. And we finally had a little meeting where it was just like, not even a meeting. Big D got mad and he's like, dude, are you in or are you out? Because if you're in, you got to be all the way in. And that was, I think, the day that was the turning point.
He would fall asleep. We would be in a break. We'd go, all right, we're coming right back, blah, blah, blah. Going to spot blocks. And I would look over. He's out. Put his head on the board and is asleep.
I was only sleeping an hour a night. I mean, if I went to sleep at all.
You know how you wake up a sleeping DJ?
Dead air!
I would go, dead air! And he would wake up. And one time, he did that and he pushed every pot up. We had five songs playing, three commercials, and a PSA.
So what was the conversation like not quite as long ago when someone went to someone else and said, we can do this on our own?
That was an easy one because we wanted to do it on our own for years.
Yeah.
But the economy went, I think the...
It was 2009.
It was 2008, I think, was the last premier contract negotiation we went through. And we wanted to do it then. And just break away and do it on our own. And it just, the economy had that downturn. And it was just, there were so many question marks that we knew the timing wasn't right. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to. And then we found a way out of our contract a couple years later. And we stumbled upon Peter Kosan from Compass Media. And we started talking with him. We said, look, we're going to do this on our own. And we need some help. And he helped guide us. And I think, you know, through that partnership of us doing the show and them taking care of the sales and the affiliates and all that, it was just, it was a marriage that was almost perfect. You know, we haven't really had any hiccups. It's the craziest thing. Like, you know,
we had everyone. They all came to us.
Right.
We
had meetings
one
with,
and they were... It was more, they were all more of the same, really.
Right.
It was that same, and it wasn't even like the terms were the same.
The people.
The mentality was the same.
And we didn't want to do the same old mentality at all. We wanted to kind of blow up what was there, completely reboot everything we'd ever done.
And again, it gets back to re-finding yourself, you know. And I felt that that's what we did. I remember our first break that we did in our building, and it was, I felt like I was naked. I felt like I was completely vulnerable. It was transparent. We were talking about what we were going through and on the air. And it's funny how the show got so much better.
Yeah.
It just did. And it wasn't even something that we were consciously trying to do.
We started doing a show that we would find entertaining, that we wanted to do, right. Saying things we wanted to say, talking about things we wanted to talk about, and not worrying that somebody was going to call 5 minutes after you get off the air and go
pull you into a meeting and go over the show.
You know, we have never been a typical morning show. Mm-hmm. We've never done quote unquote benchmark bits that we do every morning at 7:20. We rail against doing birthday clubs. We just don't like it. And so consultants will come in and say,
you
have to do
it. And that's the show you want to do.
That's fine.
Good. There's 42 of those.
Yeah. But for us, it was, hey, this is what we're going to be real true to ourselves.
Every show is different. Every day is different. And I think that's why it's lasted so long is that we still enjoy doing it. We mm-hmm. still come in and it's like a mystery of, what's going to happen today? Where are we going to take this thing? You know, where's the wind's going to blow us? That kind of deal. And it's fantastic. I feel so much freedom in the situation that we're in now that I would never. People ask us all the time. So if so and so company called, would you work for? I'm like, no, not really.
I would if the money's right.
Yeah, well, you know.
And that's funny because I actually said the same thing. I said, you know, everybody's got their price, but I don't see anybody paying it.
There are other shows in our format that are created by companies that get pushed out onto their properties and they're forced to take the show. And that's fine. That's their prerogative. That's their company. They can do what they want with it. But it doesn't work. It just doesn't. When something is forced down on you, it doesn't work. And that's the greatest thing that I've always felt about our show is that, Patrick, how many different owners do we have that are
75-ish stations? I want to say we have 53 or 54 owners.
So
nobody owns enough. Nobody has enough control to be able to call and say, you're done. I'm taking you off all my stuff.
Well, there's never been a cram down either. Right. Nobody has ever been told.
There's no corporate directive.
And even when we were with Premier, a subsidiary of Clear Channel, the show wasn't pushed on stations.
Right. Ever.
We added those one at a time over 12 years.
That's the way it used to be done.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there was a time when it just changed. And it was, the company was in a lot of financial issues, and I get it. Do what you want to do, but it really changes the show.
Right.
And if you're in that situation, it's hard to be creative and fun in that environment. And that's why I think that when now that we're in our own building, it's our company, it has really opened all that up for us, and that's why I said it's made the show way better.
And I think there's also an appreciation for the owners as individuals.
For sure.
Because it's a partnership. You know, they take us on and we're invested with them as much as they're invested with us.
Because we know what it's like to run a small business.
Yeah, with the cram down version, people have no idea. Like the hosts have no idea what it's like to try to make a budget work. Mm-hmm. You know, they have no idea what that's like. And we, you know, a piece of equipment fails, it comes out of our pockets.
Right.
So every little thing that you see, touch, hear, feel, whatever, in this building that we generate is generated from us.
Yeah.
And it's definitely given us an appreciation for the owners and for the people who are running their businesses because we understand it better.
Yeah, we're with them.
Right. And you talk about the marriage with Compass and the marriage and the relationships with your owners, but you are in a marriage together longer than most people actually are physically married. So
they've been together 23 years. The three of us have been together for more than 20.
Right. So how do you compartmentalize? Because you're business owners together, you're on-air hosts together, your friends,
you
seemingly.
You do exactly what you just said. You compartmentalize. You know, there's not a whole lot that can't be taken care of in a five-minute conversation.
Right.
You don't have to have 35 meetings, 45 you know, phone conferences or any of that to do stuff. The bureaucracy is crazy to me in big corporations. And we can have a conversation. We'll go, hey, here's what I'd like to do, and what do you think? And he'll say, counterpoint, eh, well, I don't know. I don't want to do this for that. And then Patrick may chime in and go, well, what about this? And then Carson, you know, everybody's got a voice here. And everybody can talk about whatever their feelings are openly about it. And we don't judge anybody for that because, you know what, I'm still learning every day.
Yeah.
I think that's the way we do it. We're all just people who respect each other.
Text these two outside of work unless it's an emergency or it's funny or it's about football. That's
lots
it.
Of memes. You know, lots of memes.
We don't hang out together.
We don't.
Off the air at all when we're traveling. And it's fun to travel. I mean, Bubba's still, you know, my best friend. To me, Patrick's not. It's a.
No. That's understandable.
We still get along.
You have to have distance. You know, you have to have, because we're here 4 feet from each other every single day.
These aren't my friends. These are my brothers. This is like every day. It's like this is the family. And I don't say that to be trite. We have a relationship that's different than friendship.
Yep. Right.
We come in here, we defend each other, we fight for each other, we work together, we get it done, and we create together, which is a hard thing to do every day. Come in and create something out of nothing. But then we separate.
You know? Because if you're not, there's nothing to talk about when you're back, right?
That's a big part of it. I was telling Peter yesterday that you know, that's part of the thing is if I told you guys all my stories over the weekend while we're hanging out, or, you know.
You can try and recreate that, but it's not the same.
Not the same. Right. It's more fun. You come in and it's all fresh.
Yeah. So. But, yeah, 23 years is, like, you're right. I'd never really thought of that. That's more than most marriages
and
are.
And you spend more time together than most married people because. You are in this building in close proximity together for those hours every day.
Yeah.
So,
Well, you're really making it sound horrible.
No, it's commendable.
Yeah, it's pointed out that way,
monumental
like, oh,
milestone.
Only thing different is that we use the same bathroom.
Well, true.
You know what? Backtracking way to the beginning, you talk about Bubba telling D no at the beginning, and also that people say syndication would never work in this format. I had the exact same reaction. The job to be the producer of the show when it was only on one station was offered to me, and I said no because I didn't want to work in country. I was in top 40 at the time. And also, my boss, who was relaying the information, said, well, they're going to syndicate that show and do it on multiple stations. And my first reaction was, no, you're not. Not in country radio and mornings. You know, and I was 19 at that time, and it was like, no.
Well,
no one can do that.
The difference that we went into it with, and we still do, is understanding that the pushback that we got was it has to be live and local. That's always the big push. And to this day, there is still that vibe. And we from the beginning have always said you can do both. It can be a nationally syndicated show while also getting local, good local information on that one station as well. So we do that every day. I mean, I'm kind of in charge of doing the local part of it. I'm cutting things and sending things when there's a really bad accident or a disaster or a weather or something or whatever.
Or even like a championship football game.
Yeah.
Or just anything that's going in the news.
Things that are pressing. When I get it, it's cut within 45 seconds,
right.
And it gets sent out, and it airs after the next song on that one state, that affiliate.
Right.
So we do we have a lot of respect for the local part of it.
That's where they make their money.
You know,
these stations that we work with, you know, they're dealing with their community. And if it's so much easier for somebody to go in and sell the show, if somebody says, oh man, I heard about that today on Big D and Bubba. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just an easier sell.
You know, I think about 20 years and that feels like a long time. This morning you said maybe not 20 more, but you guys continue to build this brand. And last year it was the implementation of a live show.
A stage show.
A stage show. And going overseas with the USO.
Mm-hmm.
What are the next steps for you? In your mind, where does this go from here, brand-wise? What are the natural expansions for you that still feel comfortable for who you guys are?
Well, we haven't really – no one knows this yet, but we are doing a Big D and Bubba circus. It's going to travel.
So excited.
It's going to travel in medium to small markets.
Live monkeys. Monkeys are an important part.
Integral.
Of the future.
They've
of
been
this
de-poopified,
show.
So it's okay.
We are working on, in fact, we were talking about yesterday on dates, on expanding the stage show, the Big D and Bubba game night, we call it, which is like the radio show and an improv and a comedy show and a concert. And interaction with the audience. We bring people up and we play games, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a blast and it's a great way. We sell out just about every city that we do. And it's fun to go in and let people see that part of us.
Right.
And live, and we get to hang out with them and take pictures and selfies and all that kind of stuff. So as we're going into this next year, we'll be doing a lot more of those. And also looking forward to doing hopefully a European USO tour.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You guys talk about ownership, and there are a multitude of owners, so no one person has this giant stake. But it also means you're in a lot of media markets, smaller markets, where you can be radio stars,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who previously listened to your morning show before going into radio, you guys do a good job at making it feel like you're there.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to other people who aren't syndicated but are struggling to figure out how to be a star in a market where they aren't Nashville?
Stay humble. I think that's number one. You can't get the big head. You get the big head, you start thinking that you're so important and whatever. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you might be important to five or six people, but the rest of the people see right through you.
Look, the biggest radio star I've ever met in my life is a man named Philip Gibbons, who is, because if you he's in Cookeville, Tennessee, at our affiliate there, and if you walk into any store, any place where there's more than five people, it's not just that they know him. This is the key. He knows everyone.
That's like right. Gary.
He knows Gary McCoy in Shreveport. Same guy. That's how you become the king of your town. It's not just making sure everyone knows you. You got to want to be the guy who knows everybody as well. That's a big part of it.
I would say from a programming standpoint, you need to be different. You've got to be you, which is already different. Don't be afraid to go do dumb stuff. I remember Bubba and I have thrown things off of the building. We have submerged ourselves in milk.
It's still one of my favorite things we've ever done.
For an hour and a half.
We did a radio show
under
about
milk.
4 feet deep under milk.
With masks
scuba
on.
Scuba gear
with,
on. The
with
whole
microphones
thing.
On and all that.
For the reason of?
Well, because
to try it?
The dairy board said that if we did that, we would get a Got Milk billboard back when that was a thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we're like, okay, we'll do it.
I have a picture of it somewhere. It said, good for your funny bone.
Yeah.
And
I
had them
like
with the milk mustaches. That's great.
That's nicely done.
I think that you have to be authentic, but you've got to be different than what's out there. If you think that you're going to get on the air and be a liner jock and just promote the remotes that are coming up this weekend at the car dealership, man, that's you're replaceable. There's 1,000 people who can do that. I do that when I send it out to affiliates. You've got to do something that is copyable.
Uncopyable?
What's the word I'm looking for?
Not easily duplicated. Not easily duplicated.
Yes.
Or uncopyable. Whatever.
I like uncopyable. I'm going to roll with that
uncopyable.
One.
Big D makes words up all the time.
I like that.
You'll get the little red line under it when you mm-hmm. type that into the
it's gonna be nice.
Word processor.
But do you mean?
I think Clippy will come out and ask me about it.
Irreplaceable?
I miss Clippy. No, I don't
know. Irreplaceable. Is
yeah, you've got it. What
close.
Is that? Often copy, but never duplicated. You know, the old liner.
And here's another thing, too, is our industry, radio prides itself on stealing.
Yes.
Like, I can't see any other in radio, if you hear something that somebody else is doing, you immediately implement it on your station. And we do this. It's like a virus. We do this so much that there's no originality out there. And when there is, it's copied elsewhere, and it really kind of helps. It really waters things down, And I wish as an industry
we would done it. I don't want to pretend we don't.
No, exactly. But I wish as an industry we would celebrate originality more.
Yeah.
But we just don't.
But if you're a baby DJ, you're kind of trying to figure out who you are and work your craft. I mean, you're going to steal from all kinds of people. People are going to steal from us. They're going to steal from whoever. I mean, like we did. I stole from Coyote McCloud and the Zoo Crew and Rhett Walker and all these other guys. You know that I listened to growing up. And Rick Dees, you know, and you get little pieces of it, and then you've kind of one day you kind of find out you go, oh, hey, this is my voice. Here I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys have both been willing to take risks, willing to show up in the morning, willing to try it on your own. A lot of people don't get that opportunity now. There's not as much. You don't get to play in overnights and find your voice.
No.
So. How would you recommend if someone is reading this and they're an intern or they are trying to get in the radio and they're on the street team, where do you hone this craft? Where do you practice if you're not given the opportunity for overnights or given the ability to fail until you find it?
I think a lot of people, you know, and this is the easy answer, but I've been saying this for 10 years, is that podcasting is a place where you can make those mistakes and you can find your voice and you can develop your character, if you want to call it that. I think that's still a good place to do it. If not, you know, if you live in a big city, drive 45 minutes out of town on a Saturday mm-hmm. and do a radio show in a tiny little town that, I think all of us worked those 7-day-a-week jobs for a long time. You've got to do whatever it is that you do your way, whether it's working the full-time job in the big city or with the full-time job in the small city and the part-time job in either or the other. I think, you know, if you're really wanting it, you're going to put in the work. But most people are just lazy and they want it to happen. They want to be born on third base and go, oh, I hit a triple. It doesn't work that way. You actually have to swing the bat and miss several times before you can actually make contact.
I mean, Bubba and I started when we were 14 years old. On the air.
Not together, but individually. Right.
Yeah, on the air, a shift, the whole deal at 14. And that was awful. And so
I still have those tapes somewhere.
Years.
Mine.
It took years and years and years before we ever sounded decent.
And as you heard earlier, we didn't really sound decent. Somebody was syndicating that.
But it was some consultant's idea of what a syndicated show should sound like.
Yeah, that's true.
I just hope the takeaway is that people understand that you've got to be yourself and not try and become a Frankenstein of consultancy. And it's easy to do because you feel if you don't, they're going to fire you. I get it, man. But I've also found that most consultants, when they ask you, they tell you that or suggest you do one thing, or PD tells you, man, you guys have really got to change it. You got to do A, B, and C. Then you just go, okay, great. And you go do what you already did.
Don't
and then
tell that secret.
And then say that you did A, B, and C. And they never know. Because they're not really listening to begin with.
We have had somebody tell us one time to do a certain thing on the show, make a change. Of course, we thought it was a dumb idea. We ignored it. 2 weeks later, we get on a phone call with this person. They're like, oh, man, I can totally tell the difference. Thank y'all for making those adjustments.
Yeah, that's how you expose those people.
Fantastic.
You expose them. Because this is an art. This is not science.
Right.
You cannot come in and go, hey, this worked in this market. You guys should do this. It'll work. No.
It worked because it was that person.
Right.
Right.
Not that... market.
Just because something works somewhere doesn't mean it's going to work for you or work everywhere.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does.
That's why doing 20 years of syndication is an amazing feat.
Yes.
Because that's working on a bunch of stations mm-hmm. that is one thing. It's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. So now that, last question, now that you know it's your 20th anniversary, how will you celebrate this weekend today?
I'm
Naps,
gonna go, yeah.
Extra steak. What are we doing?
I'm going home today, and I'm going to trim up a brisket, and I'm going to start smoking it tonight.
Fantastic.
And it's going to be about a 15-hour smoke, and then I will enjoy tomorrow ignoring my family and watching college football.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
I,
as
I
you
am
should.
Hoping to celebrate this and also LSU winning the SEC championship at the same time, and I will be tipsy by halftime.
Fantastic.
And my family is out of town this weekend. So
come and watch the game with me.
I will actually be sitting at the firehouse waiting for calls to go down because I do that. I'm a volunteer firefighter. I had to drop it in because they always make fun of me. I always have to say it. But mm-hmm. That's how I'm going to
really
spend my weekend.
We almost got all the way out.
I know.
Said it.
But no, I'm just that's how I'm going to spend my weekend. I'm going to just wait for the tones to drop.
Monty, you know how you know when someone's a fireman? They tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it's they tell true. You first if they're a vegan, though? How do you know?
No. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'm a vegan firefighter.
Like, how do you even... And if they do CrossFit, it's over.
Oh, my God.
I'm a vegan firefighter, CrossFitter.
Yeah, that's, it's over at that point. Well, cool.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
For coming in and spending your Friday morning eating cake with us.